St. Gabriel Catholic Radio presents Faith Alive. Each weekday, we bring you the finest Catholic speakers sharing their personal stories and ways for you to grow spiritually and make your faith alive. On Saturday, October 13th, 2012, the Columbus Women's and Men's Ministries inaugurated the first annual Columbus Sacred Heart Congress. Over 400 people from more than 40 parishes came together at St. Joan of Arc Parish in Powell to celebrate Mass and to hear inspiring talks by Mother Assumpta Long, Monsignor Eugene Morris, and Father Stosh Daly. Today, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 is pleased to bring you the final talk of the day, delivered by Father Stosh Daly. Here's the MC, Joanne Wilson, with the introduction. Enjoy.
While they're passing the basket, I think I'll begin to explain a little bit about how Chuck and I were connected to this call to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that was really through my dad, Art Klett. He spent his retirement years from Ford Motor Company, 26 of those years, working for the Men of the Sacred Heart in Cincinnati. He was a woodworker. He was a guy who loved to make things, make wooden toys, birdhouses. He had a big saw in his basement. And he had a decision to make when he retired. And the decision was, did he do a little craft business for himself, or would he work, as he would often say, for pay that was out of this world? He chose the out of this world pay. And they would come, they would deliver to our home these giant boards, and he would take them in the basement and cut them into plaques that the Men of the Sacred Heart make and distribute. And one day, there were damaged, water-damaged pictures, traditional ones that were not very popular anymore. During the 60s and 70s, more of a contemporary design was wanted. But Dad wanted the traditional ones. So he took the scrap of these boards that had been thrown away, and he made what they still refer to as arts plaques. And somehow, through God's providence, there was a priest who saw these plaques, took them back to, I think it was some island, and encountered Mother Teresa's sisters. And providentially, they got to Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa loved these little plaques and said, I want them in all my hospital rooms, and even wrote a letter to the Men of the Sacred Heart. So then they started putting them on styrofoam because of the shipping to Calcutta and all around the world. But what we saw as a family was really those promises that Father will share more with you of what the promises are for those who spread the devotion and love the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Our family learned that firsthand through our parents and through our aunts and uncles, that we now just call them the great ones, because there are six of them and they are all with the Lord. But I can tell you those promises are real. And I can share with you being at the bedside of my parents, especially my dad, the joy he had, the celebration it was, truly it was. Dad was so excited to die. He couldn't wait, as he said to me, honey, I worked a lot of overtime. He was going to collect. He had confidence that God would be there for him. So I share that story with you, not because it's about my father and my family, but it's about Jesus, and it's about his faithfulness. And having raised a family and now 13 grandchildren, we know firsthand the challenges of family life. We know the forces of the culture of darkness. We're out there, and it's up close and personal. So isn't it perfect that our Lord sends us this day a remedy, a balm, a help, a light? And on the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, what more wonderful, providential to have this come together in such a beautiful way. So thank you for listening to that story. It's a very special day deep in my heart, and I hope in your heart as well. When we met Father Stosh Daly, it really came through our son, Father Jonathan Wilson. And we said, you know, how can we get a spiritual director? How can we proceed? He said, Mom, Father Stosh Daly is your man. He is already enthroning homes and has a deep love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It didn't take us very long when we met Father Stosh to know, yes, the Lord had again paved the way with another wonderful priest, heart of fire for the Most Sacred Heart. Father on his own had purchased the little plaques that my father had made, not even knowing a connection for all the families at St. Michael, where he was then stationed, St. Michael Parish. So it was amazing that connection was made. So Father has just been the driver of this. He's our spiritual director. He will share with you, continue to share with you, about the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus and the enthronement of Jesus in the home. A little bit about Father's bio is, as I shared, he was at St. Michael Parish in Worthington for 4 years, having just been ordained in 2008. The Lord hasn't wasted time keeping him busy. He's been a frequent retreat director at Sacred Heart Retreat House in Los Angeles, California, the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart, Casa Maria Retreat Center in Birmingham, Alabama, and Catholic laywomen in Columbus. Father is the assistant promoter for the English-speaking church for the cause of canonization of Queen Isabella in Spain. Wouldn't that be interesting to hear about? He has continued to promote devotion to the Sacred Heart through these enthronements in the family home. And he's spoken at several conferences regarding the revival of this essential element of our Catholic faith. He will now share more with us on the remedy for our times and why the Sacred Heart is critical today. Thank you, Spiritual Director, dear friend, Father Stosh Daly.
As we begin this last talk of the Congress of the Sacred Heart, I invite everyone to please join me in saying a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God and Father, we who seek to remain meek and humble of heart, come before your throne of mercy and love. We ask you to continue to send forth your Holy Spirit as you have done all day today, to help us remain ever more faithful to the union that is desired by the Trinity between our hearts and the heart of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all of this through the intercession of your Holy Virgin, our Queen, our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, we implore that we may love thee more and more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If I may begin with a rather mundane plea, and that is to please make sure that you fill out the response card that has already been distributed. Many of you have probably already turned it in, but that simple gesture will be a huge asset as we seek to promote and to really push a greater sense of awareness and knowledge of our Lord's Sacred Heart, not only here in Columbus, but throughout the diocese and also the entire state of Ohio, and even beyond throughout all of the Midwest. In fact, there are some of you who I've already been privileged to meet who have traveled from all over Ohio for this gathering, and even from out of state. Your presence is an absolutely true gift to those of us who have organized this, but also a very firm reminder to the need to have something like this Congress of the Sacred Heart. I would like to echo those who have spoken before me in thanking St. Gabriel Radio, the Catholic Men's Ministry and Catholic Women's Ministry of the Diocese of Columbus. Without the help from those three organizations, this event would not be what it is. And I also a very special thank you to Mother Assumpta Long and the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. To the sisters, I say this to each one of you. You are, for each one of us, a living reminder, walking, talking, and breathing reminder to each one of us of God's love, His unending and undying love for each one of us. The gift of the feminine presence in consecrated religious life is a gift that truly keeps on giving. And to have you present within us and among us for this Congress is a true gift. And Monsignor Morris, who gave that absolutely phenomenal address, I offer you thanks as well. We are a people of the resurrection. And we cannot forget that as we delve into the mystery that is the love of our Lord's Sacred Heart for each one of us. We are a people of the resurrection. I have, over the past 4.5 years, been very privileged to work with a variety of organizations in promoting a return to the centrality of our Lord's Sacred Heart and living out the life, living out the Christian faith that has been given to each one of us. It's been a truly awesome and privileged journey to meet all of these different men and women from all across the world as the Lord, on His own time and His own plan, has literally dragged me everywhere. I'm not a very good cooperator. I need to learn from the Blessed Virgin on how to just give my yes and go. I don't like to go. I want to stay in my little cell, leave me alone, let me do my own thing. So I'm still learning. But I've met so many wonderful people who are literally on fire for the faith that has been given to us, the centrality of our faith that is found in the Holy Eucharist, the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I could lay out the roadmap that we have traveled for you thus far, we began with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We made the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ present right here on this altar. He's here. He's been received by those who came forward to receive Holy Communion. The Sacred Heart now lives, breathes, and burns within your own heart. Then we journeyed a little bit more deeper into understanding what this mystery is, the connection between the Sacred Heart, that name, that title, the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the reality of Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist. Mother went into the deep-seated connection between those two, and how treasured of an opportunity that was. That was the what behind all of this. What is the Sacred Heart? The Sacred Heart is the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. The Blessed Sacrament is the Sacred Heart. Then we went into the why. Why do we need what we just heard about? That was Monsignor's talk. He gave us a rundown and a beautiful exposé on the history of why humanity needs our Lord's Sacred Heart. It's not just some little pious devotion we stick on a wall and we leave it there and we hope for the best, but we continue living out the worst. He gave us that deep-seated why. We need the what that was made present in the Mass. And then I'm given the task of saying how. How do we take care of that why, which was rooted in the what, who was made present in Holy Communion? My initial response is, I quit. I don't want to do that. Not enough time. I don't have those gifts, not my abilities. But that's not what the Lord said. He said, do it. So I'll do it. We go into the enthronement of our Lord's Sacred Heart, but in order to begin, we must go back to that reality. We must be a people of the resurrection. Over the past 12 years since entering seminary, the Lord has opened the eyes of this man to experience the wounds of humanity in his time, as he has authored. And I was always wondering, why? Why? And as I would enter into prayer at the Josephinum, at Mount St. Mary's, St. Michael's, all the Lord said was, why not? You're the one. In your own way, the people will come to you as a priest. Not because of you being Stosh daily, but because you being Father. They're going to come to you. You don't need to give them yourself. You're not it. which I was very thankful. Give them me. So as couples started knocking on the door at the rectory and at the offices as a newly ordained priest, looking for help for a variety of social ills, plagues within their marriages, difficulties that seemed insurmountable for their children, families that were breaking down, communication that was long gone, a sense of prayer that had disappeared, if it had ever even existed in the family. As people started showing up and they were looking for help, I directed them to the Lord. And it all began because the people, the good people at St. Michael's, were very hospitable. Father, why don't you come over for dinner? You're young. We saw you playing soccer with our kids. We want you to come over and hang out. I'm not a bachelor. I need to do something holy if I'm going to go to your home. Let's bless it. First of all, because I don't eat in pagan dwellings. Second of all, let's enthrone our Lord's Sacred Heart. That way, whenever you have a priest come over to your home, there is a connection between having the priest there and doing something that brings you back to the Lord. A priest is not just a bachelor looking for a good meal. He's a man who represents Christ. And I wanted to bring our Lord into those homes, but I never thought the response that has been given would be the one that has been received. 4.5 years, over 200 enthronements now in Columbus itself. Over 200 enthronements. Enthronements of homes where there are a mother and father and 6 children. Enthronements of homes where there's only one parent, the other one has been called home by the Lord, and little ones. Enthronements of homes where there's just one individual. Enthronements of a school, institution, businesses. The Lord has been great. And people say, don't you ever sleep? The answer is no. That's for heaven, hopefully, presuming I get there. But the promises of our Lord's Sacred Heart over these 4.5 years have become so clear, so driven, that all I have to say is, what more could we possibly want? The promises of our Lord's Sacred Heart. And the brochure that is available for all of you to take home have those promises in them. Take this brochure home with you and go over the promises and realize these promises are not made to a select few. They're made to everyone who takes our Lord's Sacred Heart, the Blessed Sacrament, takes it into their own heart, takes an image of His heart and enthrones it in their home, just displays it in their home. The first promise, I will give them all the graces necessary for their state in life. What more could you want? He's going to give you all that you need. That's one of the promises our Lord makes to those who have an image of His Sacred Heart in their home. I will give peace in their families. If you have a family, that's all of you, by the way, you know that perhaps the most needed element in the life of a family is peace. It doesn't take very long for the evil one to slither into the hearts of a family and start pitting people against one another. And he knows he's won when he pits one spouse against the other. And many times he uses the children as tools. Get him out. Get our Lord in and begin the journey to holiness in heaven. The third promise, I will console them in all their troubles. What does that mean? I will console them on all their troubles. That means when life rears its head and its presence in your life, difficulties arise, you don't get dumbfounded by the question, why did this happen to me? But you're able, with the grace of God, to say, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this now? They shall find in my heart an assured refuge during life, and especially at the hour of death. Having our Lord's Sacred Heart in your home guarantees that you always look at life from the perspective of God and not merely your own. And you realize this life is merely a beautiful opportunity to become prepared for the one that awaits us. Over the course of these years, I have experienced many individuals who have had that quote-unquote happy death. And I never knew what I was praying for until I experienced it. And then once I experienced it, I was able to be present for one of them. I knew what the Lord meant when He said, the soul that draws close to me will have a happy death. Because you realize death is just a step towards eternal life, complete unification with our Lord. I will pour abundant blessings on all their undertakings. Everything you do in your home and outside of your home will have the blessing of God. Everything. Sinners shall find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. Tepid souls shall become fervent. Fervent souls shall speedily rise to great perfection. I will bless the homes in which the image of my Sacred Heart shall be exposed and honored. You know what this means? You take our Lord's Sacred Heart, you put him in your home. Don't stick him in the closet where the cloaks are hanging. Put him someplace where you walk in the door, you see him. Everyone sees him. I'm reminded of this particular family I did the enthronement for. And they were very weak in the faith, but they knew they needed something. The evil one had reared his ugly head in their family's life and in the home. We did the house blessing. We did the enthronement. Immediately, things started to happen within the family. They couldn't even explain it. I could. It was Jesus. I went back for a visit, and they were having a lot of other families over. And I knew where we had enthroned that image of the Lord's Sacred Heart. And I just wanted to see the image there, and it was covered. And I asked the mother of the family, "Why is our Lord covered?" "Father, we don't want to offend." I said, "Honey, if you cover him when all these people come in, he's going to cover you when they enter into heaven. That's how it works." She walked right over, took that little doily off of it, and there he was in all of his glory. And people asked questions. "What is that picture all about? Who is that?" And it wasn't the priest giving the catechesis, it was the family. And immediately at the end of this party, not just the wife, the mother, but also the father, the husband, came up, both of them, and said, "Father, we have no idea why we covered that." I said, "I do. Because you're on the journey to become closer in union with our Lord. And it's difficult. Because we hear that little whisper saying, 'Don't do that. That's going to make you look odd in the eyes of your neighbors.'" Well, as I told him, you got two groups of people to please in this life: the Trinity and everybody else. I operate by pleasing the Trinity, because I want to be in heaven with them. Forget all you. Sorry. And she immediately caught on to it. And never since have they ever covered that image when strangers or visitors or loved ones were visiting. "I will give to priests the power to touch the most hardened of hearts." This is so true. How many times a priest will get up and proclaim a homily, and then after Holy Mass, after a devotion he's preached, he will meet people outside of the church, and they're saying, "Father, I loved what you had to say." "Really? What was that?" And then they quote you. They're like, "Honey, I didn't say that. But God did. He used the words that I was playing with and gave you a message which set your heart on fire for him." If the priest will only die to himself and allow Christ to live within him, amazing things will happen. "Those who propagate this devotion shall have their name written in my heart, and it shall never be effaced." That's all of you. All of you. Even if you just take this little brochure and hand it to someone, your neighbors, fellow Catholics, your family members, your children, your parents, your siblings, you're propagating the devotion. By one small act, you are letting the Lord know, "I desire a union with you. Let my name be written upon your heart." The 12th and final: "The all-powerful love of my heart will grant to all those who shall receive communion on the first Friday of 9 consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They shall not die under my displeasure, nor without receiving their sacraments. My heart shall be their assured refuge at the last hour." What more could we want? We must be a people of the resurrection. When individuals we know or we encounter confront us with a challenge and say, "Well, why is that needed? Isn't the Bible enough? Isn't our faith enough? Why is that needed? Or, you know, Father, I'm Catholic, but I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. And this whole picture, hanging in the picture, I don't think it's really needed." I always tell them the same thing, whether it's a great and awesome challenge to the faith, something that they refuse to acquiesce before, or whether it's something little. I said, "I'll hear you out, but do me a favor. Drop dead, wait 3 days, and of your own power come back as a risen individual. And I'll hear you out. But until then, I'm sticking with our Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for us, waited 3 days, of his own accord came back from the dead, and now has opened up the treasury of heaven for each one of us. And if you decide you have something better than what he has to offer, do what he did, and I'll hear you out. Until then, keep it to yourself, honey. Life is short. I don't have time for this. There's a lot to get done. The Lord is expecting great things of us. and we must be about his business. We must be about his love. We must be rooted in his heart. Going into this enthronement, many of you had the great privilege of attending the men's conference or the women's conference, both of which had absolutely phenomenal speakers about the enthronement, the Lord's Sacred Heart. And now we have this Congress. We delve into the mystery of our Lord. And we here in our diocese are very privileged to be able to have a variety of assets and tools. And one of the greatest of which is a booklet that has been generously organized by Catholic Men's Ministry and Catholic Women's Ministry. This booklet is being made available to all of you. If it's at all possible, we ask you to make a donation, not to cover so much the cost of this, but to guarantee that we can get this into the hands of people all across the diocese, the state, and the entirety of the Midwest. In this booklet, you will find all of the ingredients of what it takes to make the enthronement of our Lord's Sacred Heart in your home. You can do it on your own. You can invite your parish priest. Or even better yet, you can contact the organization that has put this on and have a team come by, and they will guide you through the process, especially if it's too confusing. Now, what does that mean, too confusing or too daunting? Many families have either gotten out of the practice or never got into the practice of praying together. And that in and of itself can be a huge mountain to cross. Father, we don't do that. We'd like to do it, but we don't. And our kids are of that age where we really don't know how to introduce it now. This is the perfect way to go about that. You begin the enthronement. There are several different methods. You can do the 7-day approach. You can do the 9-day approach. You can do a 3-day approach. And by gathering everybody there at the same moment, in the same home, in the same room, and saying those prayers together, you're bringing our Lord back into the center of the domestic church, your family. You're bringing him back to the center of it all. And once you begin, the graces will immediately start to be poured out upon you and your loved ones. Our Lord will start to make his home. We have the great and awesome privilege for the teams, these missionaries of the Sacred Heart, which are going to be organized as a result of this Congress, to take into homes a traveling image of Our Lady of Fatima. Why? Why Our Lady of Fatima? Because she speaks to the importance, the necessity of being open to her Immaculate Heart. What's all this about the Immaculate Heart? When we consecrate, when we give ourselves over to the Immaculate Heart, she makes everything we are, everything who we are, pure, perfect. So that then when it's handed over to her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, it is what it needs to be. There's a traveling image of Our Lady that accompanies the family during the enthronement for those families who will work through the Congress of the Sacred Heart. There's also going to be a traveling image of our Lord's Sacred Heart that will be with the family for that period of consecration that will conclude with the enthronement. At the end, the family, the individual, the household is expected to have procured their own image of our Lord's Sacred Heart, an image which speaks to the family. One of the big things about the organizers of this Congress is flexibility. Our Lord speaks to you, and he wants you to yearn for him. And having an image that you can draw to and you can relate to is of utmost importance. There are a variety of images out in the narthex, and those images are made present through the Congress of the Sacred Heart and also through the time and the labor of the men of the Sacred Heart from Cincinnati, for whom we are eternally grateful for your assistance in helping us begin this great initiative, this great push. Making available that picture is of utmost importance, and all of that information is contained in this booklet. All of us can become at times overwhelmed with where life is going in today's world. But remember, we are a people of the resurrection. He has come back from the dead. He seeks to reign within our hearts, within our families, within our homes, within our parishes, within our dioceses, within the state of Ohio, within the entirety of the Midwest, the whole country, the whole world is desired by our Lord. How do we begin to get the whole world to our Lord? By giving him the entirety of our own heart. My heart first. Then the heart of my family. The heart of my home. Then I'm going to seek to draw closer to him. I'm going to participate in the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I'm going to draw close to the heart of our Lord, exposed face to face, so I can see him and I can hear him. There was a question that was brought up in one of the planning meetings, and it was a beautiful question. Father, what are we supposed to say when we enter into homes or enter into families or businesses or meet people who are interested and they say, why are you Catholics always hung up on body parts of Jesus? You guys are always holding on to fingers and hair and the heart, eyes, relics here, relics there. It's a good question. And it was pure Holy Spirit, the response I gave. We hold on to the heart of Jesus because he gave it to us. And we don't want to lose it. We don't want to drop it. But let us go no further than the example of St. John at the Last Supper, to which I reminded him, it's all rooted in sacred scripture. We wrote it. We should know it. The Lord gave it to us and we put it down on paper. And as the church experiences and passes on, St. Peter had given St. John, a teenager, the great and lofty task of finding out who was going to betray Jesus Christ, whom we now know as Judas. Peter had given John a great task. He had been given him homework. John had things he was supposed to get done, just like all of you have things you have to get done. You've got chores to accomplish, work to go to, homes to be kept clean, children to raise, parents to care for, people to visit, bills to pay. You've all got things you got to get done, like John had things he had to get done. And he was given the task of finding out who was going to betray Jesus Christ, because Peter wanted to prevent it from happening. And John, being a teenager, and I love teenagers. Teenagers have an insatiable gift for finding themselves in places they shouldn't, hearing things they're not supposed to, remembering things they're supposed to forget, and saying things they're never supposed to say. John was a teenager, St. John, the evangelist. And Peter told him, you're a teenager, you know how to do that. Be who you are, be that well, and go find out who's going to betray. Being a typical teenager, he didn't. Skipped out on the homework assignment. But what did he do? He stayed close to the Lord, and he placed his head on the chest of our Lord. That's not something an ordinary teenager does. But what does an ordinary teenager do? They latch onto reality as it presents itself, and they run with it. The teenager sees truth, and they hold on to it. Come hell or high water, they're not going to let it go. And John was not about to fulfill the homework assignment given by Peter, because he was not going to leave the side of Jesus Christ. And he knew there was something about to happen, and he drew close to the chest. And within that chest was the heart. That's ordinary. And that's what each one of us are supposed to be about. Drawing close to the heart. Even in the midst of all of the assignments, the work, the tasks, the obligations, the errands that have to be run, even in the midst of all of the work that life gives to us, we are to draw close to the heart of Christ. We are to call to hang an image of our Lord's Sacred Heart in our homes. Every time we pass by a church, make the sign of the cross, acknowledging the fact that his heart is beating and dwelling there in that tabernacle. Every time you hear the name of the Lord mentioned, to lower our heads in reverence. These are little things that keep alive the big thing, which defines who we are, the heart of Christ. A lot of things have been confronted over the past 4.5 years as a priest. I've worked with families who are on the verge of breaking apart. I've worked with families who are working with their little ones who had already been caught up in the grasp of the culture of death. I've worked with individuals who are struggling and fighting against loneliness. And never fails, once our Lord has been enthroned in that home, his grace starts to transform them. It's not some kind of little pious superstition or practice. It's making good on the promise that Jesus has already been given to us. I'm going to challenge the men and women who are here. I need to. Because I don't know if you'll hear it anywhere else. I don't know if you'll hear it in your parish churches. I don't know if you're going to hear it on other radio stations other than St. Gabriel. I know you're not going to see it on TV unless you're watching EWTN. But to all of you who are women, you are created in an absolutely beautiful way to protect, enhance, to guard, to cherish the gift of relationships. Eve was created out of the void that was there because Adam had no one to relate to. Therefore, as a woman, you are given the great and awesome gift of empathy, to relate to the other. Guard, cherish, and protect the relationship that you, your spouse, your husband, your children, your parents, your neighbors, your whole neighborhood, guard that relationship that we are called to have with Christ. To you men, stop being women. Our world is trying to convince the feminine person to be a man and the masculine person to be a woman. Knock it off. Every time you hear a battle coming for the heart, the person of your wife, don't run. Protect her. Defend her. Every time you see the evil one coming after your little ones, stand up, be a man, and you take the battle and protect the integrity, the dignity of your family. Be a man. Live in the image and the person of Jesus Christ. Both of you, pray for your priest. Too many priests have decided to hang out and hide underneath the pews, rather than to lay themselves down on the altar and die for their bride, the church. We are called to see our Lord hanging on the cross and to automatically realize the reverse side of that cross is vacant, and that vacancy is meant to be occupied by us. Pray for your priests that they will draw close to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they will be able to respond to the embrace of our Lord depicted here with his arms wide open. We can only accomplish these great and lofty tasks of bringing the entire world, our entire country, the entire state of Ohio, the Diocese of Columbus, our parishes, our homes, and our heart. We can only accomplish that if we know who we are and we seek to offer that to the Lord. If we enter into the process of bringing our Lord's heart into our homes. And then I warn you, buckle yourself in and enjoy the ride, because that's only when the adventure truly begins. The adventure of living life with the consolation of seeing everything around us from the perspective of God and not merely our own. I would ask all of you also to please become aware of those opportunities by which you can become closer to our Lord's Sacred Heart in your parishes. Never underestimate the power of making a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, of going to a period of adoration, visiting our Lord face to face. Bringing our Lord into the center of the parochial life is one of the best ways to help his graces overwhelm the people within your parish. Inviting those whom you know to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. I'm going to adoration. Do you want to come? To your children, inviting them to pray with you. We have a variety of representatives from many different organizations. I see a lot of faces from Bethesda Healing Ministry. I see a lot of faces from the Secular Franciscan Order, from the Secular Discalced Carmelites, from the Third Order Dominicans. I see faces from all different organizations. Take our Lord's Sacred Heart into each one of those organizations. Keep him there. Pray for the success of those particular ministries before the throne of our Lord's Sacred Heart. Realize that over 12 years, we have had hundreds of priests, religious sisters, and missionaries visit Columbus, Ohio. And all of them have said the same thing. There's something different about this city. There's something different about this local church. And I would always respond, yeah, it needs help. That's why we need you to move here. And thank God Mother Assumpta heard that and she sent her sisters here. We need them. But all of those priests and religious and those missionaries that would come through Columbus, they would all pick up on this beautiful awareness of the presence of Christ. They knew there was something special about the local church here. And I still don't even know exactly what that is. But I will tell you, it is coming to bear fruit. The Pontifical College Josephinum, back in 2000, they were having to figure out which wing to close. Which wing of the buildings to close. Now it's full. We had convents that were empty. We had convents that were empty in our diocese, and parishes were tearing them down, converting them into parish offices, daycare centers, all good things. And now we're looking at having to reclaim those convent buildings for sisters who are looking to come here. We just had the awesome privilege at St. Michael Parish of having to get rid of all of the offices that had become at home in our old convent building, and now it's inhabited by sisters. And I'll tell you what, the building itself is singing the praises of God because it wants to house sisters. Monsignor Morris gave us a great insight. All too often we become focused on the pessimistic reality of the culture of death that seeks to strangle us. And we lose sight of the focus of Jesus Christ being at the center of who we are and what we are about. Good things are happening. Amazing things are happening. Things that we can't even describe with adjectives are happening right here. Let us not keep it over there or in that hidden place. But come to realize, if it's not you who's going to be doing it in fidelity to the Lord, then who? And if not now, then when? And don't show up at the office of your parish priest, crabbing and complaining and crying about how poor and miserable the life of your children is, and you don't take Our Lord's Sacred Heart into your home. And you say, well, I can't do that because I don't want to upset my spouse. Or I can't do that because I don't want to upset my neighbors. Well, tell them. Drop dead, wait 3 days, come back from the dead, and then I'll hear you out. But until then, our Lord has a message that I have to reconcile with myself. Don't give up the fight for your families, your homes, your neighborhoods, or your parishes, or the diocese. Realize God is very much alive and working right here and right now. He's doing incredible and amazing things. Amazing things like an elderly man who had lived a life completely devoted to the faith. And when it came time for the Lord to call him home, there's great turmoil over how his body was dying. But at the mere sight of the Sacred Heart picture lifted before his eyes, he became at peace. There's the amazing thing of a family which was completely on the verge of a mental breakdown. They were all about to run their own direction. They went through the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. A year and a half later, there's peace. They can actually sit down and speak with one another. They don't understand why. They can't give the full explanation, but they know it has to be rooted in the Sacred Heart. There's the increase in vocations to the priesthood and religious life, not from over there, but from right here in our own diocese. All of this is happening because we are turning back to the center of reality, that center of reality that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that leave us with right now? We're coming to the close of the first annual Congress of the Sacred Heart. We've got another one planned next October, and it's a bye, so that Buckeyes aren't playing anywhere that day, so you don't have an excuse to miss it. But what do we need to do between now and then? We need to think about, pray about, and make our own the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have heard today, that we have received today at Holy Mass, in Mother Assumpta's talk, in Monsignor Morris's talk. Think about what we've heard. Realize it wasn't being said for the person behind me or on either side of me or in front of me. It was being said to me. That truth was being said to me. Wrestle with it. Make it your own. And realize, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? Will the struggle become one where we give back to Jesus Christ what he deserves? And remember this, and this is going to be hard to hear. God doesn't need you. You need God, but he doesn't need you. He wants you, which is why everything he does to get us is rooted in love. But if God needs us, then he's not God. There's only one word that he uses, want. But when we use the words, we have to differentiate between need and want. And oftentimes when you speak to somebody about what they need, it's actually what they want. They don't need it. To need it means for sustenance, to live life. We need God, but he doesn't need us. He wants us in complete and insatiable love. He wants us to himself. And he's going to come after us every day of our life. But do we need him? Yes. But do we want him? That can only be answered by you in the confines of your heart. Do you want him as much as he wants you? And your want for him has to be rooted in your need for him. Do you want your children to go to heaven? Or do you need your children to go to heaven? Do you want your spouse to go to heaven? Do you need them to go to heaven? Do you want your priest to be happy and holy and a good homilist and short too? That'd be nice. Or do you need him to be short and good? Think about the words we use. The challenge for us Catholics today is to mean what we say and say what we mean. Or better yet, mean what we pray and pray what we mean. Stop playing the semantics that the culture of death is throwing at us. Lay down the gauntlet and remind the culture of death. Drop dead, wait 3 days and come back, and then I'll hear you out. But until then, may the Sacred Heart of Jesus speak loud and clear and come to reign first in my heart and in the heart of every single one of the people who are alive at this moment in time. And like the angels of Fatima said, may he always and everywhere be adored in every tabernacle of the world, for now and ever. Because he is alive, he is God, he came back from the dead, and we are a people of the resurrection. Remember, as you leave, take the brochures for the enthronement. Read through it, process the information, pray through it, make it your own. Contact, when you are ready, the Congress of the Sacred Heart. Contact us. We will have teams ready to assist you, your loved ones, your household, in making the enthronement. Invite your parish priest to participate on his own time and in his own schedule if he can. Hopefully, in God's providence, he will be there. But do not wait. Bring our Lord into your home so that he can then make a home out of your heart. May God bless you all.
That was Father Stosh Daly's address to the first annual Columbus Sacred Heart Congress. And you're listening to Faith Alive on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. At the Mass that opened the Sacred Heart Congress, the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, under the direction of Sharon Sillick, provided some beautiful music. So as we close out today's show, I'd like to play several of the selections. Enjoy. Thanks for listening. God bless and have a great day.
Mother. binding for a thousand generations.
Those were the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, who serve at St. Michael's School under the direction of Mrs. Sharon Sillick. That's all the time that we have for today. Coming up in just a few minutes is The Doctor Is In. Thanks again for listening. God bless and have a great day.